get organized and get in a direction that's impactful, effective, you know, and has a target in mind. I think so many times our household finances, whether it's anything from car insurance to your retirement account, it's kind of like this big junk drawer. And we are very good at getting everyone super organized.
Have
super
you seen in my drawers?
In, right? I have one too. So. Okay. But it's, it, you know, everything becomes so much more useful and impactful when you know what your purpose is and what you're trying to accomplish during your time on this earth.
So, Mindy, a lot of times people think, well, it's really important that I take care of things with an attorney. Mm-hmm. But there are things that attorneys are not really trained to do. But this same thing is so true. I had a very dear friend. He was like a graduated top in his class from one of the Ivy League schools. He was a brilliant attorney, a great guy, and a great friend. And he liked to go out ski every year. Mm-hmm. And one year he went out to ski and had a brain aneurysm.
It's terrible.
And he was a young guy in his 40s.
Wow.
And so he had children, and he did not have any clear directive for what would take place with his own kids.
Wow, and he's an attorney. That's amazing.
And he was an attorney. Now, for me, if we had a deadline date on anything, he was right on top of all of it. But why is that? Sometimes we just neglect our own.
Because people don't expect to die in their 40s. Mm. You know, they're really in the saving.
Ooh, that's a good point.
They're really in the saving mindset. They're in this, all right, I'm approaching the time when I should start thinking about retirement, right? Planning for retirement. They're not even really saving for retirement at that age, but they're really preparing to start saving for retirement. So people in their 40s, a lot of times they take that for granted. I mean, I'm guilty of the same thing. For some of my listeners, I've told the story of my brother who passed away in 2024, breast cancer, 45 years old. This is what I do, but I wasn't prepared for him to die. We were more focused on getting his daughter through college. We're focused on other things, and it's a very procrastinated part of planning, and it's very important, though. But people don't realize how easy it is to accomplish those parts.
So when should the planning start? I'm thinking about high school when, you know, kids are going through school. And they're into college,
sadly,
they come out, and they're illiterate.
If you're alive, you should be prepared for death, right? Spiritually, financially, too. If you're alive, then you need to be prepared. And because none of us know how long we're going to be on this earth.
It's true.
And we anticipate, we're not trying to say this is what's going to happen. And I think that's the curse of the enemy, is to tell us that it's bad to be prepared. It's bad to plan, because then you're kind of cursing yourself, but that's just not biblical. We all need to be prepared, and we all need to be ready. I have life insurance on my children. I'm not ashamed of that. That's not bad.
Right.
But you know, for me, when I first started in the world of life insurance specifically, they gave me these leads. I was working for a company, and people would call in a commercial, whatever. They would go online. However, we would get this information. It was a call to action. And they gave me the stack of leads. It was 90 days. You were supposed to do 90 policies, burial policies, in 90 days. And so, that was a big deal. It was a challenge.
That's aggressive.
I did it. However, took every single lead, and I called and went. And you know what ended up happening is the majority of these leads were, because I was the least senior insurance agent, they were all in like the, I don't know, lower income housing developments. A lot of women, I will just say, I don't, for lack of better words, women that are, you know, their children are in gangs, their grandmothers, they all want insurance on their kids, on their sons. You know why? Because there's a very high likelihood that they're going to die before.
They've been to a lot of funerals.
And there is nothing worse than a mom or grandparent that can't afford to bury their own son.
So the unlikely group of people maybe that might be interested, you ended up
having
a solution for them.
Yeah, and when Donald Trump had his, it was for Black History Month, I don't know if you saw his event that he had, and those women were up there. And for me, it was, I cried because
flashback.
I know these women, or I don't know them, but I've met with so many of them, and it gave me a different perspective. And to know that these streets are being cleaned up, like, you don't know what that means. My big concern as a white mother is that I want to get my kids through college.
Right.
My biggest concern is not, God forbid, something that they're going to get shot, you know,
and I
have to be able to pay for that. So there's mindsets in all different ways. We kind of took this tangent, but the truth is there's no, you can never be too soon.
So planning.
Planning is important right away.
I've got a son, he's going into the Navy. Just got off the phone with him a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
So he said, Dad, I had to sign more papers. Like, okay. But he leaves Sunday. So he's gone Monday, right? So one of the things that we were talking about is, okay, you know, they have some sign-on bonuses. There's different things that take place. And he's wanting to have a plan. And I said, one person I'd like you to meet with is Mindy Molina, which he has not. Now it's like everything happened so fast. And he did look into setting up an account, I think, maybe through Thrivent and some things there. But he's thinking about that.
Yeah.
And, of course, I have life insurance on him, too.
Yes.
And I bought that back, I don't know, 15 years ago or something, and I have a special needs child. And nobody would sell us insurance for him.
Yeah.
And so I could get a rider that sort of
covered him.
Covered him, at least for a small amount, right? But so how can people get a hold of you?
Well,
and what do you offer to somebody that would say, man, I need to do something, but I don't know what to do?
Well, everyone's situation's different. So the very first thing we would do is just get to know each other, talk through it, see what your situation is. And you can reach me online at mindymolina.com. You can Google my name. You'll find me. Or you can call or text 561-729-2778. But I think what makes us a little different is that we're very easy to work with. I work with so many different different families and different situations, but we all have the same hurdles and the same goals. You know, you'd be surprised that what I've heard once, I've heard a million times in families. And the dynamics, though, are really important. Family dynamics are really, really important when it comes to legacy planning, because you might have one child that's really, really a saver. I mean, me, for example, I have two sons. They're very different. One of them knows exactly what he wants and exactly what it costs and has no problem spending mommy's money. The other one is just like, I don't need that. And we need to save. Right. So if at this moment for me, I believe like, oh, this one would be, you know, more would save money better, but you don't really know how that is going to play out.
True.
And but everybody's dynamic is different. You have kids, you have so many people that have addiction and have real problems, you know, that money is actually an evil for them. It's an enabler, and the last thing you want to do is leave them this big chunk of money. However, there are ways to structure this, and we call that control from the grave. Okay, so you have control from the grave where you can and leave a legacy. Like, it's not just about our children and the next generation. It's also about the church and about the Lord's work. And what kind of impact are you really leaving? And can you leave what I consider a legacy also includes impacting, you know, the things that matter to you as well?
Mindy, one of the things I really like about you, and I've recommended, people will ask me, they'll call in, they're looking for a Joe Martek that's been gone for years now. But, you know, Joe was here for a lot of years. I think his program was here more than 7 years. And we're now like 4 or 5 years post.
Yes.
And people's lives were so positively impacted. They're still telling people about Joe Martek because people had no plan. They didn't know how to invest anything, you know, and yet they call in and say, who was that guy that was on air? So I refer all these people to you.
Yeah, I have many of his clients.
That's awesome. And part of what I will tell them is Mindy is personable. She's very easy to talk to. There's nothing intimidating. And she knows probably your story before you tell it. And she's worked with many people in that kind of a way.
Absolutely.
And so we are very blessed to have you on WCNO. And incidentally, your program, that's kind of a different stream of income. We have three streams that fund our station.
Mm-hmm.
And one is programming. Another is partnership with businesses and churches where we promote their business or their church by promotional ads. But the third area is listener support. And I really wanted you to come in while we're talking to our listeners, because we have people that will follow us all through this week. We're in the second week.
Yeah.
And I just believe so strongly that the body of Christ has suffered sometimes because so much emphasis was given to the whole idea of money being evil, and that is not at all what the Word of God says.
Amen. And, you know, I really feel like, you know, God gives us our calling. I didn't grow up thinking, oh, I want to be a financial advisor and have a Christian radio
show. How did
that
happen?
Yeah, that was God's plan.
Okay.
You know, he exposed me to different elements. There's almost no portion of someone's like financial household that I haven't served in retrospect, whether like, for example, mortgages, car loans. In college, I worked a finance desk. Right out of college, I got a job with a mortgage company. Just little bits, you know, I saw my grandmother, how long-term care impacted her, and was firsthand involved with that. And just, yeah, little things that have happened over time have brought me to who I am now. Not what I do, but who I am, right? And even like 2008, I had just got my license. My first quarter in the investment world started September of 2008, which was people getting their statements and losing 40% of their retirement and scared out of their mind.
Big crash.
Big crash. And I saw how that impacted people. I saw how they were treated, and it impacted me, right? It changed to say that didn't, you know, affect who I am in this business. That's God, right? God needed me to see things.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's how I feel like I got to this point. It's just by my path that he took me down. And, but I think that answered your question.
Yes, it does. Benevolence, giving.
Yeah. Giving, yeah.
As Christians, the percentage is like, we don't even want to talk about the percentage of people that actually give, say, a tithe, for example. And some people say, you know, that's not scriptural, this, that, whatever. I don't even want to talk about that. I just want to talk about the point that as Christians, no one can understand giving like we should.
Right.
Because the whole aspect of eternal life is based upon the greatest gift, and that's the gift that God has given.
And all throughout the Bible, God talks about giving.
Give constant.
And how important it is, and how important it is to him.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a tither, and I'm a giver.
Yes.
And we give to different ministries, and I believe a lot of our listeners do. And so why is that important?
So I remember the point I was going to make earlier too was about really, so something I'm really passionate about is that now that I'm in this role and have been in this role, what I've seen is meeting with people. You know, there was for a really long time, people would say, well, I would sit with someone and they might say, I'm not worried about leaving anything to my kids. They can get their own. That was like a lead in. It was over and over.
That and, was the opening.
I'm like, okay, that's not a priority. And at first it was fine. It's like, okay, that didn't bother me at all. But then over time, God started opening my heart to, no, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
This is not my way. You know, even in I'm a Christian author, as you know. And by the way, I just released my second book called Born to Fight. It's on Amazon as of last week.
Born to Fight. Why don't we have a copy of it here?
I know. I don't even have a copy yet.
I'm going to schedule you. We're going to do an interview. We're going to talk about it. Okay. We'll talk about both of them.
So my first book is God Loves You and There's Nothing Anyone Can Do About It. But one of the chapters is called Remember Number 5. And number 5 is the fifth commandment, which is to honor your mother and father.
Yes.
And then it goes on to say, so something about maybe you can, David's better at quoting scripture. Yet on the land that I've given you, something like that. So for me, what God was kind of showing me was that this is also about legacy, right? It's about legacy. I believe Satan is tricking us in a way that we don't even realize as a Christian community in that he is robbing our legacy. You know, if he can bring an end to Christian faith by bringing an end to our financial obligations, it's a way for him to you know, defeat us. And our mindset has to shift back to what those biblical principles are. One in remember number five is this. The fifth commandment says to honor your mother and father. To honor someone is to say, give them credit where credit is due, right? We want to give our parents credit for our life, for bringing us into this world. Even in the worst situations, we still have been given this opportunity in this lifetime to bring purpose, to have purpose and to serve God and to have a God that loves us. But giving credit to your parents, whatever that means to you. But instead, Satan wants to tell us that we need credit from our parents. Mm. How many times do we need affirmation from mom and dad?
Always
when that's
looking
not
for
biblical.
That.
So right. We seek this affirmation from our parents, and all it does is build this wedge, and then it builds this wall of they don't appreciate what I've done for them. I'm not going to leave them. Why do I care what they inherit?
Mm.
It's such a simple way to end a waterfall of opportunity for legacy is so important. You know, what happens if this radio station goes under? What happens if Christian schools can't stay open?
Right. Yeah.
What happens if churches close?
A local church.
This is his goal. This is the enemy's goal.
Absolutely.
And financially, we have to fight back. It can't be wrong to be wealthy. It can't be wrong to have assets. Assets are power. Power is important for us to be able to maintain our faith, and Satan knows that.
It is a strategy of warfare to seize the resources of a nation or a people. I know even with what's going on with the war our nation's involved in, part of the discussion was the plan to seize and freeze the resources of that nation.
Right.
And Satan certainly understands that if the church is closed up, locked up, and I saw that bumper sticker that said, I'm spending all of my children's inheritance, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the Word of God actually says that we are to lay up an inheritance for our children's children.
Yes.
So not only are we to be looking at our children, but how do we influence? How do we equip? How do we pass the baton to our children, through our children, and still have a living, enduring faith? Ben, you got something?
Yeah, so I mean, in the times that we live in, too, I think this is going to be even more important for like my generation, for the futures of our kids, because the times that we live in with the introduction of things like AI and other things, the uncertainty for the future is going to be even higher. So we don't know what kind of issues our kids or our grandkids might have in the future. So us setting aside that for them to be successful so that the blessings of God can flow through them and their families. You know, God's very much a generational God. You know, he's much into Abraham and all the seeds and descendants of Abraham, and we fall into that as well. So why wouldn't you be concerned about your kids and your grandkids and so forth and so on? You should be encouraged to do that. So, yeah, that's...
So, Mindy, question.
Yeah.
I can hear somebody saying this. I'm struggling to survive week to week, month to month. Why would I ever talk to a financial planner? My parents live the same way.
Right, yeah. You know, it's really unfortunate because in this industry, you know, the way that financial advisors are paid is based on assets mainly, for the most part, right? So the more money you have,
the more I'm going to make, right?
The more the advisor is going to make.
Okay.
So to work with someone that has no money is most financial advisors would not
have no interest whatsoever.
No interest whatsoever. So because we are both insurance and investment licensed, we're dually licensed, our advisors are, then we actually still can stay afloat working with people through things like life insurance, you know, or other types of ways.
So the curse can be broken. Poverty curse can be broken.
Amen. There's so many ways, but sometimes the reason is because they're not getting the attention that they deserve and need, right? Like you need to be able to go to a financial advisor. We need to end that stereotype. People need to come that are just getting started or know that I'm in a position. If your income isn't enough to cover your expenses, then that there's not a lot someone can help you with there.
Right.
Right. That's just, You have to figure that part out. You got to get a better job. Maybe you go to a recruiter, go online, get
improve
your resume.
Your education, do something.
You have to take action there. But you also, budgeting is so important. Budgeting is the foundation no matter how much money you have, whether it's, you know, I have clients that have far less money, but budget better than some that have way more money,
absolutely,
but don't budget very good, right? Mm-hmm. So it's budgeting is really, really important. Setting goals is really, really important. If you're just trying to save, you probably won't.
Yeah.
But if you know I need X amount of money by this time in order to buy this car, you might actually do it. So setting clear goals and objectives. And a lot of times that just is a quick chat with someone that is good at doing that.
So what happens? Someone comes in for an interview. How does this work?
We gather as much information as we can together. Like,
you look at the big picture.
The big picture, get their story. I also have a questionnaire that's very in-depth, and I ask a lot of questions. They ask questions.
Which is very beneficial for the applicant because it makes them think about it.
Yeah, if you're going to go to a doctor, you know that they're going to do all the diagnostics that they need. You don't want them recommending a surgery that you never needed.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And they're going to gather a lot of information for you.
I see myself as like a financial doctor, and I'm not.
That's cool.
I don't sell surgeries or prescriptions, okay? My job is to keep you healthy and to give you longevity.
Okay.
Okay? So same way financially. It's to keep you wealthy and keep you from ever running out of money. So if I can do that for you, that's
awesome.
The objective.
That's awesome.
And
that's
protection, awesome. You know, protecting yourself, your finances is really important, especially in times when people feel like, you know, the market's going to crash or the dollar's going to fail. There's all these things that can happen. You know, we have we're incentivized to protect our assets. We are motivated to protect all of our investments. So
many, you know, wars, rumors of wars. The scripture tells us things are going to happen, and we live in those days, but so did my parents. I mean, my dad was saying, hey, there's not time to go to college, son, because Jesus is coming, right? And I think that's another aspect in Christianity. Sometimes we don't understand the timing because the mercy of God extends the time on a lot of heathen people. You know, it really does. But I remember back a few years ago, there was a radio station that was saying, oh, Jesus is coming on this date, and so run up all your cards, enjoy, you know, and hello, you know. And I actually had people calling me saying, Pastor Jonathan, did you know that Jesus is coming? I said, no, I know that he's not coming. My wife goes, that's one date we know he's not coming, yeah, for sure,
right.
Because no man knows day. So, yeah, we have that aspect of maybe sometimes in the body of Christ, just because whatever, we haven't really been trained to be disciplined, to have a plan. And somebody's listening today saying, I could never follow. I could never. But is it possible to change?
Yes. Yeah. And so we've been working on this app, speaking of IT, that is designed specifically for that, for budgeting, for accountability.
Okay.
And really.
Accountability.
Real time. You know, so we really want to keep with the objective of the app is, and I don't want to say until we have it completely done, but the objective is to help people change, to help people be accountable, and to give them real-time guidance, okay? So that you're always on track and aware. And, you know, when you sometimes we overspend in one area, you know, there's something that you've got to go to Home Depot for that you normally wouldn't spend $300 on, but okay, well, where are we going to take that money from?
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to get into debt with our society. I mean, we constantly get credit card offers like, oh, we'll do this. And it's like, oh, but you get this free. And they're always trying to lure you in. So avoiding debt.
Even when you shouldn't be getting credit card offers, you're getting.
Yeah, it's like, I know.
So I years ago, Larry Burkett was kind of a leader in Christian circles in regards to budgeting and such forth. Today it's Crown Ministries. I think Crown Ministries still exist, and I actually have one family in our congregation that is going through that, and they provide a coach. And so, you know, you kind of work through some of that. It sounds like in a different way, as a financial advisor, you work with people that have a lot of resources.
Yes.
And you're also working with people who would like to have resources so they can be more generous.
Yes. Yeah, I think that having balance, like, what is the story of the lady that came who had very little but gave, like, gave all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The widow's mite.
Yes.
Story, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your giving is so important. I mean, I'm a firm believer the Lord provides. Okay. Everything that I have. And I pray consistently.
What does that mean to you? When you say the Lord provides, what does that mean?
Even in my business.
Because you're a financial advisor, you're talking about disciplines, you're talking about budgeting, you're talking about some barriers that are put up for health.
Right. Resources should always be trusted in the Lord, right? For your purpose. I think if you're distracted for your purpose, for me personally, for Mindy, it is being wide open to receive, to transfer wherever and however God sees, expects me to do, right? So if there's, I see myself as more of like a water hose to water a garden, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just receiving and to give because I'm not going to take it with me. However, that has to be mindfully. I know that God trusts me to be knowledgeable, mm-hmm. to be responsible, to be obedient, but it doesn't mean, you know, I'm going to disregard my children and their future because that's not biblical. God right. says I need to prepare a way for them and I need to provide for them and I need to think about their life too when I'm gone, sure. the generations to come. And then it also means serving God's kingdom, you know, mm-hmm. supporting things like WCNO, supporting ministries that maybe need support that come my way. Right. You know, I'm not going to go and be exposed to every single ministry
sure, and God
out
doesn't
there.
Ask you to.
But God
sure.
has certainly brought me to certain ones
mm-hmm.
and expects me to do my part to make sure that I'm giving where he wants me to give. So I think
obedience
and awareness and also taking, but you have to build that structure. You know, you can't just be, you have to get organized.
So this is stewardship, really?
Stewardship. Yeah. And the Bible also says you're supposed to seek counsel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should seek counsel. So you should be seeking, if in the terms of money, you need to have professionals that are going to help you do the right things with your money. You also should try to align yourself with a Christian advisor, someone that shares the same morals and mm-hmm. ethics with you. You know, we even designed a portfolio that is specifically aligns with Christian values.
That's awesome.
And it's not, we call it profit over politics mainly. What it is, so I can't say, because there are some that are very, very, you know, rigid with what they'll invest in. Ours is about staying out of, because, for example, statistically, some corporations that have forced certain ideology or politics, really just forcing right. their politics downstream in the corporate environment, have higher turnover, lower productivity. Mm-hmm. What's that doing to their profits? So now you're investing money into really a political nightmare.
You have
nightmare,
a hole in your bucket.
Yeah. Right. Versus mm-hmm. a company that is not, sound. Yeah, that is talking about their business, staying in their business, right? And you might have a CEO that is politically different than you are as a worker, but you'd never know it, right? It's not about that. They're not there going against your own moral principles. There's many people listening right now who are invested in their, built into their fund, whether it's an investment like a ETF or a mutual fund that they're in, an annuity that they're in, their investment, their money might be being invested in a way that is literally, you know, funding a war that they're fighting against.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And why?
Yeah. It's very true. Very true.
And it happens all the time. I mean, not to bring politics into it, but like my wife and I are very conscientious of the products that we buy that are anti, you know, that go, you know, that are in line with abortion because we are anti-abortion.
Yes.
So why would we support that? Or why would we, you know, invest into a company that does that? You know, so we try to be conscientious of that.
No, and that's wise. That for me is being wise with your money. That to me is financially seeking purpose on this planet financially. I mean, that's just you telling the Lord, hey, you can trust me.
Yeah.
When I'm going to be wise, I am going to be mindful of what matters to you.
I believe God honors that.
He certainly does, and you'll be blessed because of that.
And the scripture says there's wisdom in the multitude of counsel, so that brings me to another point. Ben, give the phone numbers out. This is Prayer and Share.
Yeah.
And we have Mindy Molina with us today.
That's right.
In just a moment, I'm going to ask her to give all of her information again, but give our phone number.
Yeah, so our number's right now, 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And you can also give via text the letters WCNO to the number 24365, or you can hit our website at WCNO.com.
So, Mindy, and we're going to go to a song after you address this, but we have a lot of listeners that have been already, they have investments established, maybe for years they've been following a track. How does this aspect of in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom in the multitude of counsel, for those who have a track, does it make sense to revisit that and to actually get input maybe from those that are coming from a different angle? I mean, I'm specifically thinking of this. Whether it's an attorney, I'm getting advice. If it's financial, I'm getting advice. I believe God has wisdom to speak through godly counsel.
Mm-hmm.
That is not, and I've seen this proven so many times, that is not a part of the culture of an unrighteous person. They just don't understand.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I've seen many of our families in the church have I'm not going to say a downright dirty, wicked attorney, but I'm going to say someone that is not actually
representing them.
They don't have the wisdom of God in the counsel they're giving. And the end result is the product that comes out, the wills and other things that comes out from the attorneys, ends up serving the state or the attorney or somebody else rather than the intentions of the people. So how do you deal with that? I mean, do you see people that have they're like my age, 69, 70, that's saying, I'm kind of where I am, but is it worth taking another look?
Oh, absolutely. And you have to have accountability, you know, and I think having those things reviewed, I personally know two estates, high net worth estates that were robbed by the attorneys who know the estate is no longer in the hands of the family, but they literally are in the hands of the attorney. The one property, the attorney actually built a mansion on the farm. You know, so he's been, but legally nothing anyone can do about it. Right. And you know, the man that passed away had no heirs. This was
right.
You know, so
perfect picking,
perfect opportunity. So yes, that exists. And if you don't have the right, I'm sure that was not his legacy, right? That wasn't his plan.
That was not his plan for sure.
And so, there could tell story after story. But the truth is, yes, like you have got to find and work with people to think that greed isn't a factor. It is such a factor. And some people are just seeking wealth. Mm. They want to be extremely wealthy and they will do whatever it takes to get there. So if you come across one of those advisors, whether it's an attorney, a financial advisor, I mean, yes, they're going to take advantage of you. That happens all the time. Just watch Dateline or a few shows.
How do people find you?
You can reach me at my phone number. You can text or call 561-729-2778. Again, it's 561-729-2778. You can also find me online at Mindy, and it's Mindy with an IE, MINDIE. MOLINA, MindyMolina.com, or just Google me.
This next song I'm going to roll, it's actually a song I often tie into a family that really has been a foundational donor for WCNO for a lot of years, Palm Beach Iron Works. And, you know, we have three generations, fourth generations coming up where, you know, the father made it a priority. And he talks about he and his wife taking their $7 to church and giving church has a building program. He said, why don't we do this cash instead of debt? And sometimes the leadership agreed, sometimes they didn't, but he just continued to be a giver. And today, you know, we're in the third generation. And I think about the importance of legacy, of passing our faith to our children, passing resources so they're not starting at zero. Sunday, our youth actually took the whole service at church, which was really weird for me as a pastor because in 69 years, I've never done that. I've just never turned everything over to the kids. And it was kind of amazing. But the question is, why are we hanging on to a piece of land that's worth $8 to $10 million? Because I want to give it to the next generation so they have the tools and the resources to build in the kingdom of God. And I feel so strongly about that. This song's entitled The Blessing. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about the plan of God. It's so much better than the best of man's plans. We'll be right back. 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100.
Children, their children, may his favor be upon. and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
Well, we're coming back. We have Mindy Molina in studio today, and we are just giving the Lord an opportunity to bring some wisdom to us, and we do Amen. Need that because there are so many different opinions. You know, that's one thing, Mindy, I think about when people will call in. I have people call in and say, you know, do you have someone on the station that talks about finance, retirement, that talks about wealth preservation, that talks about some of the special areas of need and where to start and such forth, and I refer them to you. And I want to just say that I have families calling back now saying we have been extremely pleased and blessed by our association with Mindy Molina.
Thank you. That's
and that good. Is a blessing to be able to say, because I've had people ask me, how long have you known Mindy? How long do you know of her track record? Because this is a big deal. I mean, I think about we hear in the news where there have been some scams that have ripped off somebody yes. of $500,000 yeah. dollars, and everything they had is gone. It's like it's just gone. And so obviously if God's put something in your hand, whether, you know, I think about the talents, doesn't matter how big the bag is. God's yeah. given you something. So what do you do with that? So, Mindy, we were talking about wealth preservation, and you were talking about how bam, that means different things. Some people may have, what were you saying, a half million?
Yeah, so for someone that's retiring that has $500,000 or so in their 401k, they need to know that they're not going to run out of money, right? So preservation is really sometimes focused more on income, making sure that they have enough income, that they're never going to run out of that income. Because if you think about it from that perspective, if you have plenty of income coming in that's covering all of your expenses in your way of life, whether that means going on vacation, making sure your property taxes are paid.
Sure.
These things, if your income is covering that, then everything else can just grow with the market. You can just let it grow and you don't have to dip into it very often, if ever. Now, for someone that has, you know, 3 million or more, or and then there's other segments, like, but in that range, sometimes it's not as much about income as it is about market protection and really okay. making sure that you don't lose that money, and that you preferably move in a conservative direction where you want to grow, but risk becomes more important. And so you have to take a different mindset with that. And then when you get into, you know, even higher brackets, 5 million or more, then we're talking about other types of concerns, whether it's a foundation or how they can do legacy building. And it all matters, you know, really. It doesn't even, it's amazing how much the math doesn't matter quite as much as it does the process and the expertise, making sure that you have the team. Like I was telling you earlier, we have...
Let's talk about that, the round table. Who's at a round table? Who comes to a round table? What makes that up?
So this is what we call the retirement round table, but it consists of a CPA who is very, very an advanced CPA. She okay. focuses on, you know, high net worth individuals or business owners. And then myself as a financial advisor, and then also SEPA and insurance. I'm licensed three different ways. And then estate attorney. and also a life insurance long-term care specialist. So together, and Medicare and health insurance specialist. So when someone sits with me initially, we go through the process of gathering all of that information in the first meeting. But even if they don't meet with my team, say you already have an estate attorney or you already love your CPA, I still have access to these individuals to as a resource to make sure that what you're doing, I can review your tax return and I can review your estate docs and make sure that what you're doing makes sense, because the left hand needs to know what the right hand is doing. Right. And we can't expect our clients to quarterback all of these different professions and communicate. So just having me to be able to communicate to everyone, or you take it to the level of, yes, you meet with all of these professionals and we all work together to collaborate and give you the most optimal plan, you know, and that's when advanced planning comes in and it works. And it's less time consuming for the client and it's more efficient.
Again, how can people reach you?
They can call 561-729-2778 or text 561-729-2778.
Or go online
to MindyMolina.com, or they can Google me, and it's Mindy with an IE.
Insurance.
Yes. So long-term care is actually a really, really hot topic nowadays. I mean, it always has been, because statistically, long-term care insurance is the highest probability of having a claim. For example, if you own a car or a house, you're more likely, and you have long-term care insurance, you're more likely to use the long-term care insurance than you are car insurance or homeowner's insurance.
Really?
Which is why a lot of the insurance companies have.
So we're living a long time.
We're living a long time, and a person, two out of three people, okay? So two out of three. So out of the three of us, two of us will need some form of care prior to passing away. Typically it's 2.5 years. Okay. So that's the average. So you're going to have to pay for care, a nurse or a caregiver, for 2.5 years, whether that's in a nursing home, maybe assisted living, independent care, but you still have somebody come in, like a home health aide. These things are very, very costly. And a lot of people are even paying for it during their retirement for their parents.
Yeah.
So we call that the sandwich generation. Now you have your kids in college and your parents needing care, right? So that keeps people in the workplace longer because they can't afford to retire simply because of that, because their parents didn't have proper planning. Okay. So this planning portion is such an inheritance grab. It will take a lot of your inheritance away. And I have so many people who the money that they inherited from their parents significantly impacted their retirement plan.
Mm.
Right. So had they not got this, you know, they wouldn't have been able to retire or so on. So it's that generational waterfall that's really important that can't come to an end. And it's really kind of closing out for generations down the road. So it's important for my generation, especially people in their 40s right now. And something else I'll add is that these life insurance, because of the long-term care claims were more than what they could figure out, life insurance companies are stepping in and allowing you to use your life insurance death benefit to fund long-term care prior to passing away. So let's say you spend you have a $200,000 death benefit, $100,000 of it you spend on long-term care, maybe, you know, because you're in a nursing home or someone's coming to your home. And then the remaining $100,000 death benefit would go to your heirs.
Can I just jump in? Because I had some experience in long-term care with my sister in a nursing home. And we did private pay until Medicaid kicked in, but we were paying $7,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was not, I mean, this is a good nursing home, but it wasn't the ultimate.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
but
sure.
I know as a hospice chaplain, and that was 10 years ago when I retired from that, but assisted living, which is the level below the lesser care, the corporates were charging $5,000 to $6,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could get mom and pops and paying $2,500 to $3,000. All that's gone up.
Yeah.
But many people don't think about the nut they have to crack.
Yeah.
When you're looking at long-term care, maybe can you talk a little bit about what it is today?
Yeah, it's about $8,000 a month is the average I would say.
Yeah, so that
but
can
you know,
go
if
up
you
to
need...
There's no limit on what it could go up to, but
no.
That's kind of
And if
the
you're
bottom.
Dementia or Alzheimer's yeah. or something Memory like that, you might be looking at 12,000 to 15,000, yeah. depending on the level. And that will drain a month. That will drain an estate very, mm-hmm. very, very quickly. And you don't qualify for Medicaid unless you have no assets, essentially. Like that right. is for poor. Okay, so you have to get yourself in poor. And people say, oh, well, how do you shelter that? There's a five-year look back. You know, you can do pre-planning to try to get yourself onto
manage
Medicaid.
Some of that.
But the best thing to do is just to have a good, solid financial plan that of how you're going to pay for that.
Mm-hmm. But okay. I hear someone saying it's probably too late for me. It's interesting, my, you know, meeting with the family and some of the conversation because my wife and I took care of her parents right up to death.
Yes.
And so thankfully, their health condition was such that with our available level of help was adequate mm-hmm. right up to the end of their life. That's not the case with a lot of people. You have advanced yeah. medical conditions. So we were able to take care of both of them, and no one else in the family was going, hey, let me do
yes.
this, right?
yeah.
And there were no dollars at all to do any of that, right? So they moved in on our budget, and we were blessed to do that. But then in the family, the conversation now is, who would do that for me?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Because...
Well, and here I am. I'm thinking about my parents and my wife's parents, and I know that they're not set up the way they need to. So the balancing act of taking care of our parents, mm-hmm. biblically, kind of like what you were saying earlier, taking care of our parents, but also taking care of our kids, it's like a double whammy. You've got all this going on, and you're trying to take care of yourself, too. So it's a lot of stress.
It is.
Yeah. But someone's saying it's too late for me to do anything. Is it too late? What I mean, are policies still available to people in their 60s?
One of the things that, yeah, yes. So the answer is yes, it's still possible. Insurances can be difficult to get approved for, no matter how old you are. And they're becoming more restricted. So I'm seeing a lot more denials, especially with life insurance. So I will say, you know, if you're in your 40s, you better get it, right? Like, don't wait till you're in your 50s.
Good point.
And it used to be, I wouldn't say that. I would say, oh, yeah, if you're in your 50s, you slam dunk, you're probably going to get approved. However, going back to the idea of, oh, it's probably
too late
for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. The thing about this, what I do, is that the reality of it is 90% of it is financial based, and it's numbers based. It's math based. The one thing we know about math and numbers is that they don't lie. Yeah. What there's no reason for you to say probably. There is a mathematical process of me figuring out yes for sure or no for sure.
Yeah.
So you don't have to live in this possible, probably, well, I don't know. When your advisor tells you, oh, you'll be fine, it's like, no, I mathematically show you how you're going to be. And if that's fine for you, it's fine for you. If it's not, it's not. But to just tell someone, oh, you'll be fine, or don't worry, you don't need to worry about that.
Yeah.
Those are not acceptable answers in my field, in my opinion, because that's just a sign of someone not wanting to put in the work to show you where you stand. But when you see your own finances, your own math, right? There's only so much that you have, and there's only so much that you need. It's easy to figure these things out. If I show you that and you see it, and then you know exactly where you stand, that's what gives you peace. That's what gives you financial peace and financial freedom. You know, the other thing is we talk about saving and how much we need, but how much can we give? How much can we spend? Mm-hmm. So many people don't give because they don't think they can afford to.
Yeah.
They're scared to. And that's where the enemy wants to keep you in this fear of finance, of your financial situation all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't afford that. Well, how do you know? How do you know what you can't afford? That's what I show people is, hey, here's what you can afford to spend every year on vacations. Stop putting it off. So many people financially never do the things that they want to do in life, or whether it's something as simple as giving. They don't accomplish the things, or they don't travel, or they don't go take the family on that trip they wanted to do because they stay in this, I'm not sure, probably, maybe we'll run out of money. They stay in that unclear area. And when it comes to money, there's no excuse for that. You don't need to live there. You need to get out. You need to say, I can afford to do this with my family.
Yeah.
You can afford the abundance, the joy, the prosperity. God wants, Jesus said, I want prosperity and health. What is it? Just, I think it's John. He wants prosperity for us. He wants good health for us. He wants us to enjoy our lives. The enemy wants to keep you afraid.
He came to steal, kill, and destroy, right?
Amen.
For sure. Wow. Mindy, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So pleased that you took a chunk out of your day to come over here and hang out with us. What would you say to our family? I'm going to tie this to a report. I read a lot of reports that sort of trend charitable giving and just kind of look at a lot of that. And one of the reports I was reading back maybe 2-3 years ago, it was talking about the difference between giving out of your income and giving out of your wealth.
So, yes. Yeah, so for someone that has an IRA, there's different charitable transitions that you can do. But one of the biggest, one of the most popular ones is one. Well, I'll give you an example. So I had a client who was giving to an institution, a charity, and but what we did was we set up for his required minimum distributions to be sent directly to the charity that he was giving, and a portion to be sent directly to a life insurance company that purchased the life insurance. So now he was, you know, a benefactor, a giver in that. It elevated his status, I guess, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. Put him in more of a alumni platinum,
right.
And it got him a lot more involved. And then also, but just that feel good, like it was very, a giving heart, right? It is, yeah. It feels good to give. So how it impacted him in that way was amazing to witness. But also we set up a life insurance policy that went directly to the foundation tax-free. And then also the money that he was using to pay for it, he wasn't getting taxed on now. So it saved him money and taxes by doing it the right way, by doing it using a strategy to actually pay.
He was able to give more.
He was able to give more, a lot more, lot more for the same amount of money.
Right.
And which not probably pay brought the taxes. Him even more joy because then it was a slam dunk for him at
it
that
is.
Point. Yeah.
It is. And it goes back to legacy. It's like you actually are. When you stand before the Lord, and you will, what a thing to say.
Yeah. What did you do with what I gave you?
I did it. Yeah. I did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Versus, well, I didn't realize. No one told me.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you got to take the step. Seek the counsel. Find a way. Because for every dollar that you give, you're giving, you know, God has the ability to do something with it. And I know we get caught up in, oh, you don't know where the money's going. Sometimes people get this attitude. I just say, and we can get this attitude towards wealth in general. And that is my passion, is to say, no, God needs you to be responsible with the money. He needs access to the funds to do the work that needs to be done. If you wanted to build a house, what's the first thing you need to do? You need to figure out how you're going to pay for it. And that's just the way this world works. The Bible talks a lot about money.
It does, yeah.
Okay, if it wouldn't talk about it at all if it wasn't important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It matters. Your money matters, and how you invest your money matters.
Yeah.
Right? The things that you purchase and what that profit is used for matters.
Yeah.
And we have gotten very
lax.
Very relaxed with it, and we can't afford to do that anymore.
Yeah.
We really have to get honed in and say, not with my money.
Yeah,
because this is what the Lord has given me, and we're going to do the right. We're going to do right with it,
and it's going to be good for you, and it's going to be a blessing to others. Mindy, before you leave, talk just a second about your program and what you do, what you cover on your program, and why it's a great place for all of our listeners to bring your friends along and be a part of.
Yeah, so every Wednesday from 4 to 5, I have a show. It's all financially related and Christian-based. Really, if you've been listening.
It's excellent.
You get my personality. But I really try to educate. It's more of an educational show. Mm-hmm. And that you can learn all of the different things that are available to you that can impact you. And really just try to inspire people to take it serious. And to really understand they are every dollar that you hold in your pocket has an is going to make an impact in this world, right? So what kind of impact do you want it to make? You yeah. need you are in charge of it. So when you stand before the Lord, you need to be able to say, I did right with your money, Lord. Like, I did.
Amen.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
My show just is all financially related about retirement, insurances, different types of investments, ways to invest, different types of advisors. Just
you have awesome guests.
Yes, and I'd like to have guests on, other professionals, estate attorneys, long-term care specialists.